All right, hallelujah, praise God. So, praise God this morning, hallelujah, right? I almost feel like I'm full already with everything that's going on this morning and how God has been magnified in this place, all right? So, I believe that God is going to deliver an awesome word through me, right, this morning. And I really want us to just really prepare our hearts to receive as God brings forth his word, right? You know, I know that today we're talking about the harvest, right? But I want us to look at the harvest in like maybe a slightly different way today as we go through the message, right? Yes, the harvest has always been God's provision. But what I want us to start kind of reflecting on a little bit right now is that the harvest is the culmination of all the ready preparedness and readiness that we've done the Lord, and then comes a harvest, right? So harvest can be in many forms, many fashions, right? It doesn't always mean that you're going out and bringing in souls into the kingdom, right? But when you're preparing your heart before God, and you're doing the work of just staying and basking in the glory of God, a harvest will come out of that, right? So I just want to go through that. And I'm titling the message this morning, Fla Nua, right? So for anyone who's not Irish today, that's an Irish word. So the Lord was giving me that, and it's such an appropriate term, I guess, because Fla is like celebration or more than a celebration, it's a jubilant celebration, if you will, you know. So Fla Nua would be a new celebration or a new feast, if you will, right? And as we go through this morning, I just want to encourage each one of you to start right now, even examining your hearts and say, where is it that God has been working in my life? Where is it that God has been bringing me that a harvest will come, right? Because, you know, I know I was a farmer for most of my younger life, and I know the work that has to go into reaping a harvest. And that's what we're going to go through today, to understand what God is doing and how he's doing it. And sometimes it may not look like that harvest is there, but the faith and trust in God to know that he's going to provide for that. So I'm just going to kind of give a little bit of a description of the harvest, I guess. Now we'll do it, okay. So, harvest in the New Testament is 17 times it's said in the New Testament, right? But it's focused on the ingathering at the last times, right? So that's where the New Testament focuses on the harvest, right? And harvest also 68 times in the Old Testament, but its focus is on God's provision and a barometer for the tithe from his provision and pointing towards his liberation from captivity, right? So that the harvest was God's provision, and for out of that place of provision, then they would be able to go forward and do whatever God had called them to do, right? So, but in I guess the New Testament, the focus is more about the ingathering, right? The harvest that is actually being cultivated all around us, right? But I want to look a little bit different also, because in the gospel, Jesus refers to the harvest of people who are ready to believe and be gathered into the kingdom, right? So that's one reference, right? It says, therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest, right? But also Jesus spoke of his resurrection using the language of the harvest, right? He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears fruit. It bears much fruit, right? So there is Jesus speaking of himself and his resurrection even as being another type of harvest, we'd say. And then also through his death and resurrection, Yeshua, Jesus, became the first fruits of a harvest that was yet to come, right? And so, and this is in Matthew, it says, and he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. And the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom. And the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age. And the reapers are the angels. So here's even another glimpse, I guess, or another way of viewing the harvest, right? It's the actual end of the age, right? So again, it's the culmination of all time, all that God is doing to prepare this, a remnant for himself, right? That will live for him forever in the kingdom of heaven. And that's the harvest that he's talking about here, right? So as we look at this, there's different types or different ways to look at the harvest. And I want to really focus on what it is that God is doing in each one of our lives. And what harvest is God bringing us through or bringing you through right now? What work or labor unto that harvest, right? Because Fla, if we look at this, Fla Nua, FLEADH. God gave me an acronym. That's an acronym for the actual steps that need to be taken for us to fully realize everything that goes into that work unto a new harvest in our lives, right? But before we get into that, I just want to open up with a quick word of prayer and just allow the Holy Spirit to really minister to us this morning. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you for everything that has gone on this morning in this service, Father God, that you've been magnified and glorified, Father God. I ask that you continue, Lord, to glorify yourself here right now, Father God, that you would take me, hide me behind your cross today, Father God, and speak powerfully to us this morning, Lord, that each one of us would hear the word that you have tailor-made for us this morning, that it would pierce our hearts, Father God, and it would cause a labor unto a harvest to emit from us, Father God, that we would realize that what you were bringing us through unto what harvest you have for each one of our lives, Father God. So Lord God, I ask that you saturate every word this morning in the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that even as we hear your word this morning, we will be cleansed by the washing of that word, Father. I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So Flea Nua, which is a celebration or a festival, I guess, and Nua is new. So the new festival or new celebration, right? But so the acronym breaks down into faith, labor, education, abandon, dependence, and hope, right? And as I go through these, for me, these were so personal, if you will, because I know that we every year sowed crops, right, when I was young. And we sowed potatoes and vegetables and all, and we sustained ourselves to our farm, right? But in doing so, you never knew if you were going to receive a harvest at the end of all that toil, right? You know, but we have promises from God. We can depend on God's promises to know that as we're sowing into his kingdom, as we're sowing into the work that he's doing, as we're allowing God to actually grow us and mature us, that harvest is promised to us, right? So I want to go through each one of these and then kind of finish off with a call to actually look what God is doing in our lives, right? So faith. Faith that the crop that was planted will yield a large harvest, right? So you know, when you're a farmer and you go out, because this Jesus was speaking to people who were going out and planting seeds, right? The harvest to us means we go down to ShopRite and we buy some vegetables, right? And they've been harvested, right? We don't really understand the full measure of the harvest and the working out of the harvest and everything that goes into an actual harvest and why it's truly a celebration or a jubilee. Because after you've planted all these worked and done all the work onto planting these crops, will they even, give you a harvest at the end, right? But here it says, in Psalms 104, 13 through 15, it says, he waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of his works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle and vegetation for the labor of man, so that he may bring forth food from the earth. And wine, which makes man's heart glad, so that he may make his face glisten with oil, and food, which sustains man's heart, right? So we know that as we're, when we were farming, I guess, in Ireland, right, our hope was in our ability to actually do everything right. Our hope was in our dependence was on the rain or the weather or whatever, all this stuff that was left up to chance per se, right? Because we weren't seeking after God. But in this, right, when we start to look to the Lord to see what it is and how it is he wants to use our lives and how it is he's going to use each one of us, we can depend on God to know that he is the one who makes all these things to grow, that he is the one who makes all these and cultivates all these things in our hearts, right? But that doesn't come without faith. That doesn't come without believing in God, right? And we see how that's even developed in our lives, in our hearts, as we walk through this, right? And faith starts it off, and hope ends it, right? It ends the acronym, right? And there's a huge connection between faith and hope, and we see that as we go through it, right? So, also labor. Labor is preparing the field for seed. This is the part I hated growing up. You know, you had to go out there, you had to do all the weeds, you had to furrow the ground, you had to make the actual rows, all that, and then plant the seed. There was a lot of toil, a lot of labor that went into that, right? And, you know, I didn't see it as provision for my family. I saw it as me having to do something I didn't want to do. My father had a different view for it. He saw it the provision for our family, right? And he was looking at it in a completely different perspective. But that also goes to us. How are we looking at the work that God is asking us to do? Are we doing it at a place of, you know, do I really have to do this? Or are we doing it, wow, God is doing something here. And I'm going to eagerly participate so that a harvest can be birthed out of even what God is doing, right? You know, there are two different perspectives, and it all depends on where our focus is. If our focus is on the things of the world, if our focus is on self, yes, we're going to have that perspective. But if our focus is on God and the things that he's doing in this world, we'll be able to look at and joyously enter into that labor, right? Preparing the fields. And the fields can be the streets of Middletown. The fields can be your home. The field can be your job. The field can be any place that God has you, right? That is where God is looking to actually cultivate that ground, work that ground, and then bring a harvest, you know, out of your workplace, out of your life, out of your testimony, right? And he says here in Proverbs 24:27, prepare your work outside and make it ready for yourselves in the field. Afterwards, then build your house. So many of us want to jump into a position or jump into a place where we actually see, a position of authority, if you will. But here God is saying, prepare everything else. Prepare everything. Make sure that all the things that God is calling you to is actually prepared as God would have you prepare them. But how do we know that we're preparing them as God would have us prepare them unless we're spending time with the Lord? Unless we're in his word. Unless we're surrounding ourselves with people who are going to speak life into that which God is doing in our situation, right? And as we're doing that, right, now we're starting to prepare. Now we're starting to toil. Now we're starting to work. And we're starting to prepare everything around us. And then as we do that, right, now the house will be built. Now there'll be a place that you can minister from. Now there'll be a place that has a strong foundation. Now there'll be a place where people can even come and receive respite, right? But we can't do any of that without first that entering into that place of laboring with the Lord with joy in our hearts, right? Because that's where we start to understand, you know, my father had a completely different perspective on what would happen in the harvest, right? He would bring in that crop and know that he would feed his family for months afterwards, right? I looked at it in a whole different perspective. So the question that we have to ask ourselves this morning, how are we approaching the work that God is calling us to? Are we approaching it from a religious perspective? Lord, I'm doing this so I can be better, so I can impress you, so I can seem, you know, better in your sight. The truth of the matter is you can't impress God any more than you already have. God knows your heart. God knows exactly who you are. He knows exactly your weakness. He knows exactly your failings, right? The way we can impress God is by just turning to him and saying, Lord, I can't do this in my strength. Lord, I am willing. Give me the strength. Give me the ability. Give me everything I need. And God said he will. He says it in the previous verses that we read, right? That God is the one who makes the grass to grow. He is the one who gives yield to the crops, right? So he will do that in us and through us, right? And education, right? The type of seed, the time to plant, what affects the crop, how to care for the seeds, when to expect the harvest, and how to gather and store the harvest. All these things are things that need to be considered, right? But do we rush into something? Do we hear, so often we hear a word from God and we just run out and start doing, right? And then we're even either met with failure or frustration because what God delivered to us in our prayer closet isn't what we're seeing or manifesting in front of us. But what God wanted us to do was to sit and labor with him, sit and work with him, right? And go through the education, say, Lord, show me. Because I can run out and do what God wants me to do in my strength, right? God has made us in his likeness, so we have the ability to actually do that. But that's not what God wanted me to do. God wanted me to do what he wanted me to do. And he had a very specific set of instructions. And that's the same thing for every one of us. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, whatever it is that you're going through right now, let God be the one who gives you the instructions. It may not come the first day. It may not even come the first week, but wait on God. Because you could work a whole week and have it amount to nothing. But you wait on God, and that waiting, that toying, that just resting in God will produce the results that you need to actually go forth now and see that harvest at the end of it all, right? But so, you know, because even as we were going through the whole planting and sowing of the seed, my father was always picking out this one, throwing away this plate or throwing away this seed or whatever, and I'm just like, I just had no understanding or if you had appreciation for what he was doing, right? Because my heart wasn't in it. My desire wasn't really to learn what to do. My desire was, I want to be out with my friends. I want to be out doing what they're doing. I don't want to be out here working and doing this, right? So again, it comes down to perspective, right? God wants to educate each one of us, right? But is that education so that we can have more letters behind our name? Or is that so that we can now actually come to know our Father all the better, right? And as God starts to instruct us, we start to learn that the way God is instructing us is not our ways. Because God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. They're so much higher than our ways and our thoughts, right? So we need to depend on God to be the one to show us how to do it. We need to get that education from God before we even start to move forward, right? And here it says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ. No soldier is in active service, entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may be pleased, so he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. So once again, this is God speaking to us, telling us that we have to do it his way. We have to enter into whatever calling God has upon our lives and say, Lord, I need to know how you want me to do this. I need to hear from you. I need to be in that place where you are speaking to me. But each one of us can only get to that place by actually sitting before God and say, Lord, minister to me. When I'm in my prayer class, Lord, I want to hear from you. I desire to hear from you. I will wait until I hear from you. Don't just go into your prayer class and say all that and then walk away and say, oh, well, I heard nothing. You know, we have to start tarrying and waiting because God is worthy of us waiting on him. Otherwise, what we're doing is saying, Lord, I have this 15 minutes and I need you to speak to me in those 15 minutes. Who's God in that situation? Right? We're telling God that he's got a time limit to speak to us. You know, if you really think about how we're approaching that, that's completely backwards. We need to be willing to say, Lord, I'm coming before you, and I'm going to continue to come before you and wait on you for the instruction that I need to continue to actually do the work that you're calling me to. Right? And then abandon, right? And this is the part that so often, I guess, hinders our growth, right? Because that abandon is not just abandoning something, but abandon is abandoning your own process, your own way of figuring something out, your own way of understanding how to manage a situation, right? Because when you go to sow seed, there's a huge investment that needs to go into that, right? You have to purchase seed, fertilizer, equipment, storehouses, land, all that has to be purchased with the hope of harvest, with the hope of receiving something in return, right? But as we come before God and we say, Lord, I'm giving all of my ways over to you. I'm giving all of my resources over to you. I'm giving everything into your hands, Lord, because I trust that you will guide my path, that you will use all these things and show me how to prosper in these areas in ways that I don't even know yet, Lord. You know what I'm saying? And this is the, you know, because it's all about the heart desire, right? If our heart's desire is not there to allow the Lord to be the one who works and the Lord to be the one who actually, you know, carries us through this, we and abandon ourselves, if you will, in it. I'm not talking about just going out and saying, all right, I'm going to sell everything and see what God does. I'm saying if you hear from God first, right? And that's the first piece in everything, that we have to be sitting before God. If you're not, make sure that's the first place you start. As you sit before God, you read his word to get to know him. Not because it's a religious practice. Not because you have to. Not because the pastor said, well, you should read your Bible. Yes, you should read your Bible. But you should be reading it so that you get to know your Father in heaven. This is a love letter to each and every one of us. And it's tailor-made for each and every one of us. I could read the very same scripture that you can. And God will speak to you and I differently through that scripture because it's a living word. The Holy Spirit is living in these pages. He's breathing life into each and every one of us as we read his word, right? So as we read his word, it's not a matter of just reading words just to read them, right? That's religion and religion is dead. But when we enter into a relationship with the Lord and we start to read through the words that he has given us and allow the Holy Spirit to minister the life into our lives, now there'll be a newness and a freshness and a yearning and a desire to seek after God. And as we do that, now we'll start to receive instruction. And as we start to receive instruction, now we'll be able to abandon our own proclivities, our own ways, our own thoughts, our own desires even, and have God's desires become our desires. When he says he will give you the desires of his heart, it means that we sit before him and God replaces our desires with his desires. So he's giving us, not that he's going to give me or manifest the desires of my heart, because my desires would be a Mercedes, a bigger house, a bigger TV. You know, say that would be the desires of my heart. God's not saying that he's going to give you those things. He will give you what your heart desires, right? And your heart will start to desire after the things that God wants for you. But the only way to achieve that is sitting in his presence, getting to know God from a place of desiring to be in relationship with him, right? And, okay, so, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread, right? So, when we go to that place where we abandon all, right? We have to think that, Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I don't have to fear anything in this world. As long as I am pursuing God, hearing from God, and following his instruction, right? I can't just come up with an idea myself. And that's so crucial to understand. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm not saying go out and hatch an idea based on Scripture. I'm saying go out and hear from God through Scripture. And then, once you've heard from God through Scripture, then put these things into place. Then start pursuing God according to that measure. Then start using Scripture to actually see how God is going to work that thing out in your life. Right? But it all starts in that place where we sit before God and we say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting on you. I'm not giving you a time limit. I'm not telling that you have to answer my, because we often go into prayer and we pray in a way that we already have a vision of what we want God to do, right? So we're praying and praying and praying, telling God, I want you to answer my prayer this way, right? Now just think of the arrogance almost. We don't mean it as arrogant, but the arrogance is that I'm coming before God, I'm seeing a situation, and I'm telling God that this is the best way to manage this. Right? You know, just think of that. We don't even think of it as arrogance. But when we pray in that manner, it's like, Lord, speak to me. Tell me how you want me to approach this. Tell me how you want to handle this. And then I will pray according to your will. Then I will walk according to your will. Then I will pursue and I will hold on to that word that you have given me until your will is done on earth as it is in heaven, right? That we will then trust in God to actually do that. But first we have to hear that from God. You know, we can't just decide, oh, I read the scripture, now I see Paul did this. Paul didn't do anything. God did something through Paul. You know, David, God did something through David. Any of the men that you see, or any of the women you see in the scriptures, they didn't do anything. God did it through them, and they would be the first to agree with that statement, right? And they waited on God, and the testimony that we read, and the wonderment that we see is because they waited on God. So if we want to be like them, we need to do the same thing. We need to act like them and wait upon God to deliver that word to us. And then be as bold as a lion. Then have all the tenacity in the world to pursue after that thing that God has given you. Don't let anybody deter you then. Once you've heard it from God, because God will work that out. You may have to go through a time of labor. You may have to go through a time of abandonment and start to really dig in with the Lord. But there will be a harvest. There will be a harvest at the end of that because God is the one who's producing, who is cultivating, who is growing that seed, that fruit, that thing in you. And out of that place, harvest will come, right? And dependence, events and conditions that can cause the crop to fail and even the livelihood of the family for a whole year. That was one of the scariest things, if you will, right? Because as that crop is growing, you're out there, you're tending to it, you're weeding it, you're watering it even. You know what I'm saying? But if a frost comes at the wrong time, or if too much rain comes at the wrong time, that can ruin the entire harvest, right? And now, not only does it ruin a harvest, for us, it doesn't mean as much. That just means there might be a shortage in ShopRite. You know what I'm saying? But someone else will fill that void and someone else, and the price might go up. So yeah, we might have to pay a little bit more, but it'll still be available. But for us, that meant that we didn't have that food for that year. That meant that as Jesus was speaking these parables and these things, they knew that that's what the harvest meant. The harvest was truly their sustenance. The harvest was that which would actually see them through the rest of the year, right? Now, as we go through our harvest, right, what is it that you're looking for God to sustain you with? Are you looking for God to sustain you with more money? Are you looking for God to sustain you with a nicer life, right? Or a more comfortable life? God never promised us a comfortable life. Look at the disciples. Look at the apostles, right? None of them had a comfortable life, right? They pursued after Jesus and they pursued after God. And they all pursued after that and were bold unto the point of actually crucifixion, right? Upside down. Or beheadedness, whatever. I'm not even saying that we need to go that far. I'm not talking about martyrdom. That's not what I'm preaching here, just in case anybody gets that wrong. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that we so often confuse that pursuit of God and we pursue him for things that we want, right? Not for the things that we need, right? What God wants us to look for is there are people all around us. Every day that we walk out to the world, the harvest fields are full already. Right? God wants us to be growing in him so that we can have effect on those who are around us. Right? So that those who are around us can actually start to see even the possibility of a harvest. So they can see the sustenance of God. So they can see how God provides, right? So that as they see these things, then as we go out to the harvest, now we have something that we can actually share. Now we have the ability to actually speak to those whose hearts are broken, right? Because if you go out into the streets, and we go out with lamps burning, all, you know, every month we go out, and we see in the streets, people are hurting for the gospel message. They're not hearing the gospel message in a manner that Jesus loves you. They're hearing gospel message that tells them, you need to do this, you need to get right, you need to stop doing this, you need to stop doing that. That's not the gospel message. The gospel message is Jesus Christ loves you and he died for you, right? He died for you and his desire is that you just say, yes, I received that which you did for me, right? That is the message that we need to be bringing. It doesn't need to get any more complicated than that. You deliver that message and I guarantee the Holy Spirit will move on the hearts of who you're speaking to. You don't need to have all the Bible verses, you know, from Genesis to Revelation memorized. But you need to be reading the scriptures. You need to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is saying. You need to be in that place where you know that it's God sending you out. Because you can go out in your own power to the streets, wherever, and then start witnessing to people. But your witness is going to be your telling someone else what you did. Right? And how you did it. Because the Holy Spirit will not be the one infusing that testimony, right? We have to come to that place where the Holy Spirit is the most important person in our lives. You know, if we're not pursuing after that, if we're not pursuing after seeing the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the fruits, the works of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we're not looking for love, joy, peace, patience, as would come from a godly perspective, then we need to examine where is our hearts. Where's our hearts? Have our hearts even lost sight because so many harvests that we have hoped on have failed? Right? But no, it's not the harvester. It's not the Lord of the harvest that's failed. It's our approach to the harvest. Right? We come before God and we ask God to do things according to our will. Right? But Jesus said, pray that your will be done. He says, you know, in the Lord's Prayer says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God speaks, everybody obeys in heaven. You know what I'm saying? And that's how it is. He wants his will on earth to be that when he speaks, we obey. That when he speaks, I don't say, well, you know what? You know, maybe, but you know, the game's on this Sunday. I'll do it after the game. The Lord wants us to be obedience is when the Lord says do, we say yes. That's obedience. That's how simple it gets, right? And, you know, we have to be willing to get to that place. But the only way we can get to that place is as God starts to cultivate a heart and a desire in us that's soft, that's supple, that sees God in a light as a loving father and not as a hard taskmaster, right? Because if we're serving under a hard taskmaster, our first desire will be to do something else as soon as he's not looking. As soon as he's not, you know, hasn't got his thumb on us, we'll be trying to do something else. But if we're truly serving a God, as we see, as a loving Father, as someone who's doing and caring for us, who loves us, even after that prayer closet experience has ended, we're going to want to. We're going to desire to serve him and be obedient to him. So as we go, so it is this trust in the Lord, right? Right? So here, I love this. Trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Just let that sink in for a minute, because all of that is saying abandon. Do not lean on your own understanding. Don't think that you know how to do something, right? Do not be wise in your own eyes. God is our Father. God is the one who is directing us. The Holy Spirit is the one who is in us, showing us how any one job needs to be done, right? We can look around the world and you can listen to all the great orators that are out there, right? Telling you how the steps that need to be taken, right? But if we're not hearing from the Holy Spirit, those steps will fall flat every single time. Because you are set aside unto the Lord. You are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Amen. So your instruction does not come from this world. Amen. Your instruction, you cannot rely on this world to be the element that instructs you into what you need to do. We need to be hearing that from God. We need to be hearing it from God in our prayer time, in our prayer closet, in his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit. All of that needs to be actively working in us so that we can have this mindset. Right? So we know automatically, I'm not going to lean on my understanding. God is doing something here. My understanding will be to do X, Y, and Z. God is calling me to something different. My response will be this. I have learned from my years to do this. And God said, no, that's not how I want you to approach it this time, right? I mean, I love it. When David was going out to battle, right? There was one particular time. And you know, God directed David in many different ways. But there was one particular time, right? And David was waiting with all his armies, right? And God said, when you hear the trees rustling in the winds, that's when you go out, right? So now I'm thinking of this. These are all hardened soldiers, right? These are all guys who are actually, you know, used to war and used to actually, you know, going out there and fighting hand-to-hand battle, right? And here's their commander saying, when you hear the leaves rustling, you know, how many times do you walk by and you hear the leaves rustling all the time, right? But here's his instruction. We are not going to leave until we hear the leaves rustling, right? Now, what kind of a testimony went forward there, right? They must have looked at David and said, well, this guy's crazy, but he's hearing from the Lord. So, you know, and they would trust to a certain extent, but the Lord brought in the harvest after that. When David followed God's instructions, he had victory. And I guarantee that if you are following after God's instruction for your life, you will have victory. You will have a harvest. And you will have multiple harvests, you know what I'm saying? You will have multiple times where you can celebrate, where you can have festivals over what God is doing in your life. That is what testimony is, right? It is the actual festival of praise that goes out from you because of the harvest that God produced because you're willing to just wait on him and go through the steps necessary to actually be labor in him, to take that abandon and allow that to be just, you know, to educate ourselves in what God is saying, what the Holy Spirit is saying, what the Word is saying. You know, bring that to even those who could counsel us, right? And get that, know all the things that God is saying to you, and then you'll see the harvest come in, right? And hope, right? This is the last one. So faith and hope, I believe, are so tied together. But if you look at the world's description of hope, it says the general consensus is that hope is a feeling of expectation, a desire or wish for a certain thing to happen, right? And we can all pretty much agree, right? That's what hope is, right? But a biblical perspective on hope should be different, right? And it is. It says the biblical definition takes it one step further. Hope is an expectation with certainty that God will do what he said, right? So hope and faith are working together in that, right? And all those things in the middle that God has showed us this morning, right? All those things in the middle go hand in hand with faith and hope. Hope is not just I hope something happens. No, there's a certainty. There is a certainty because we've heard from God. You know? Each one of us can even testify their own spirits right now that when you've heard from God and you stand on that word of God and you continue to pursue after what God has told you, that you see the victory in that. That is no longer hoping as the world would hope. It is a certainty that God, who is able to speak everything that you see around you in the world, right? He spoke the very world into existence, right? He made you and I out of clay. He breathed breath of life into our lungs, right? This is the God we serve. He knows every single star that's in the sky, that's in the atmosphere, right? By name. He knows every hair that's in your head, right? He knows the number of every hair. I mean, just think of that God, right? This is the God we serve. The power that God has. And he came down as man, right? He shed off all of that deity and came down for the single purpose of taking on the sins of the entire world. Right? The entire world. That means everybody in the world, their sin debt is free, has been forgiven. But not everyone is accepting that gift. Right? It is our job to actually go out and start to present that gift in a way that people will want to receive of that gift. Right? That we can be used by God. But the only way that can happen is if we're actually being sent by God. Right? And that our hope is in that God will, that certainty that God will do as he said. Right? So, Romans 5:5-5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So hope and faith, right? Going together, it will bring us through that ability to persevere, that ability to labor over the things that the Lord is giving us, that ability to sit before God and know for sure that God is the one directing us. God is the one who is giving us the instruction. So as you go out into the world, we will have a confidence. It's not like I'm going to hope that I have an impact in someone's life. But that hope will have a certainty behind it. Because God is the one who is sending me. God is the one who is using me. God is the one who is delivering those words. And even though I may not see it in the physical at that moment, I can trust that God's word does not go out and come back void. That God will pierce that person's heart. That God will start to do something. You know, just recently, my brother-in-law, who I've been, you know, trying for years and praying for years and not really, you know, beating him over the head with the Bible, but he's been watching without even me realizing it, and I'm finding all that out now, right? He's actually interested in finding a relationship, seeking after a relationship with Jesus, right? I never even imagined that would happen, right? But again, yeah, and praise God though for that, you know? Praise God, because I was just in that, I was being obedient to God and saying, you know what, I'm going to continue to pray for him. I'm going to continue to hope for him, if you will, right? And know that God was working on his heart. But yes, and even my sister is starting to have desires to see Jesus and realize that she needs Jesus in her life. You know, these are things that, you know, we can't even know how long it's going to take for that harvest to mature. We don't know how long it's going to take for God's word to do everything that it needs to do in a human heart, right? But I look at my human heart before I came to the Lord. And if God can somehow soften my heart, he can soften anybody's heart. You know what I'm saying? I know that for sure. You don't know my testimony. You don't know who I, you know, my personal memories and thoughts and all the things that God brought me from. I know where I was. I know who I was. And I know where God has brought me to, you know? And I can tell you that God is continuing to produce a harvest. He's continuing to bring forth fruit, right? Not because of how of anything that is great in me, because I personally haven't changed, but God has changed me. My desires are different. He's given me different desires in my heart. And it's not just for me. God is not a respecter of persons. Every single one of us are the same at the foot of the cross. God wants to do the exact same thing for every single one of us. He wants to bring us from image to image and glory to glory so that we would glorify him and that he would be glorified even in that. And then that we would start to just be a harvest unto those who he is sending us to, right? that they would be receiving of a harvest, right? Because we would continually be in a state of blooming, in a state of fruition, right? That we would be in that place where the Holy Spirit is continuing just to manifest through us. Because you can love people, but if the Holy Spirit is not the one manifesting love through you, it is going to be a corrupted love. We cannot love as God loves. We have conditions on our love. God does not, right? We have conditions on our love. God's love is unconditional, right? Joy, his joy is unconditional, right? His joy is overwhelming, right? We have joy until something, we hit a bump in the road. All of a sudden, the joy is stolen from us. But if it's the Holy Spirit manifesting that joy, even when you hit that bump, you will joy because you will know, oh, hold on a sec, all things work together for the good for those who love God and call it his purpose. So bring it on. Bring on that bump in the road because that is working to my good. That is producing a perseverance in me that is going to actually glorify God, right? So we can, so no matter what it is that the Holy Spirit's fruits are, if they are the things that are manifesting through us, there is nothing the world can rob you of. Because the world cannot take from God what is his. He cannot. It's impossible. There is no battle between God and Satan. God's won. He was never threatened. You know, he was never threatened. When Satan rose up, God just said, all right, you're gone. You know, and the thing is, we so often confuse that there's some struggle. There is no struggle between God's kingdom and the satanic realm, except that which we allow, right? That's which we allow, because we are the ones who continue to look towards the flesh, the things of the flesh. God's desire is that we would rise above that, beyond that, and see that he has a place for us that we can dwell outside of all that. He is a kingdom that Jesus ushered in, that we can dwell in, and we can have the peace, the love, the joy, all of the things of the Holy Spirit continually just manifesting in our lives, right? So, now that all has been done to prepare for a bountiful harvest, are we truly ready, prepared for the overflow? And that is a question, before I close out, I guess, this is a question I want each one of us to answer this morning. Or not answer, but start to, you know, ponder in our own hearts. Have I been in that place? Have I been sitting before God? What is it that I'm replacing God with? How often do I take God off of his throne and replace him with something else in my day-to-day? How often do I replace him with Netflix? How often do I replace him with relatives, things from my job, all of these other things, right? How often do we take God off the throne that's rightfully his and place something else there, right? And until we can actually get through an entire day, right, and keep God on the throne all day long, we need to continue, and every day, not just one day, but that's the start. If you've done it one day, now repeat it and repeat that. You know what I'm saying? And I guarantee you, the way you'll be successful in that is by coming before God. Start off first thing in the morning. Come before God and then practice to walk in the presence of God throughout your day. Whatever you see, start to bring God into it. Start to allow, ask God, what is it you're doing here, Lord? What is it you need to work out in me? What is it that you're showing me? And all these things that God, that we're facing, God will start to show us. They're there for our building up, right? For our bringing from image to image and glory to glory. God's desire is that we would know success. He says, I know the future I have for you. Right? He knows the future. I don't know my future. I can set aside a 5-year plan, right? God says man makes his plans, but God scoffs, right? You know, so just be careful when you make an ironclad 5-year plan. God might be giggling in heaven at it. You know, saying, no, that's not the plan I have for you. You know, and then we have to adjust. We have to make that adjustment. We cannot stick to our plan, especially if we know that God is drawing us somewhere else, right? We have to be able to abandon our plans and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm here. Use me at your will. Use me at your, whatever you want to do, right? So are we prepared for overall? What is the plan for ministry unto God? And are we mature, meat-eating Christians able to be used to speak in the lives of all God was in our way? That is the question we have to continually ask ourselves every day. What is lacking in me? God is not lacking in you. Because when you were saved, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit, right? And in John it says, you have everything that you need unto godliness. Right? You already have everything you need. But the problem is that we don't sit in that in God's presence and allow that to actually be made manifest through us, or to become aware of the work of the Holy Spirit, become aware of the voice of the Holy Spirit, right? To hear the voice of the Holy Spirit clearer than any other voice, right? That is a challenge that we need to just continue to put before ourselves, right? Because God is calling us, not just today. I mean, there's so many missions that go forth from the pulpit, and you hear the podcasts all week, you go to Bible studies, and this, it's almost the same message. Sit before God, right? But if we look at the world around us, there's too few people sitting before God. There's too few people sitting before God and saying, Lord, use me for your purposes. Lord, you tell me what you want to do. I am not going to come in here with an idea of how I want you to work in my life. I'm going to come into this prayer closet and say, Lord, what is your plan for my life? I'm submitting my ways to you. And as we do that more often, now we will start to actually become more adept in actually hearing God's voice, in recognizing how God is steering us, how God is calling us, how God is causing things to happen in our lives to put us and face us in a certain direction. And then we will have that joy that the Holy Spirit gives us, because we will know that this is the work of God. But the problem is that if we're not in the place where we know we should be, right, the conviction of the Holy Spirit will come upon us. And then we start to actually say, oh, I don't want this. But instead of us going back into our prayer closet, right, we start to drift from the Holy Spirit so that we don't hear the voice of conviction. Right? When you stop hearing that voice conviction, you need to hurry up back into that prayer closet. Because if you're not hearing the voice conviction, there is something wrong, because none of us are perfect. Every one of us need work at every level in our lives. We go, may have brought us a mighty long way, but we have a mighty long way to go yet. You know what I'm saying? You know, none of us can stand here and say, God has, you know, because even Paul said, I'm saying this, like, I'm not saying that I have reached that place, right? And it's the same for each and every one of us. None of us can sit here and say, we have reached that place. But God has a desire to bring us from image to image and glory to glory, right? So I just want you to re-examine your hearts to that and ask God, Lord, show me. Show me in my prayer closet. Lord, give me a yearning. Give me a desire. Stir that up in me to even want to go into my prayer closet. There is a discipline that is also needed, that you just sit there. You may not hear anything the first time, but that's okay. If you need to put worship music on in the background, let worship music wash over you. Because sometimes it's hard to just sit there in silence and not let the cares and the worries and the voices of the world actually start to manipulate our thoughts. Right? But if that's the case, let worship music filter over you and just enter into that presence of God, and let God be the one who carries you through, and let God be the one who gives you instruction, and let God be the one who gives you direction and starts to give you the vision and starts to give you what you need to do, so that harvest will be coming out from you. You know what I'm saying? That you're not just looking to be the one going into the harvest, but you're also the one who is delivering a harvest. Right? That there is fruits that are emanating from you. They're the fruits of the Holy Spirit, yes, but they are fruits of harvest that others can glean from, that others can actually now be blessed from, right? So I want to close out with this, right? And it's 2 Timothy 7 through 15. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. And before, I want to clarify that a little bit, that it's not what I say. This is the Holy Spirit writing the scriptures. Right? So as we read the scriptures, the Holy Spirit is actually the one coming forth here and saying, consider what I say. Right? For the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I just really want to have us understand that. There is so much out there that's telling us you can't speak the word of God. You can't do this. It's wrong to do this. There's never a time where it's wrong to be in the word of God. There is never a time where it's wrong to allow the word of God to start pouring forth from you. But If you're doing it out of your own strength, that word will not have its effect. But if we're sitting before God and God is sending you out, then speak the word. Speak the word. Because we need that. That's what this world needs. It needs the word of God spoken in love. It needs the love of God. It needs the joy, the peace, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness. All these fruits of the Holy Spirit need to be obvious to the world. Right? And we need to be the one. We are the ones who's housing. The Holy Spirit is in us. We are the ones who have the ability to actually be the fruit of the Holy Spirit to somebody else, right? And then it says, for this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it, eternal glory, right? So again, how much of us are really willing to endure all things? And again, I know this is probably a heavy word this morning. And there's a lot of stuff that we need to go through in our hearts and in our lives. But don't shy away from that. This is not condemnation. This is conviction. The Holy Spirit is calling us to say, listen, my child, I want to do this in you. I want to love you. I want to care for you. I want to produce in you a harvest 30, 60, and 100 fold that will actually be a blessing to those who are around you, right? So this is not a condemning word, but this is a convicting word, right? So as we leave from here, I just really want you to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to just start stirring that up in you. Stir that up in our hearts, stir it up in our lives, stir that up no matter where we go, that we are looking for God in our situation, right? As it is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Right? And again, I know, even as the Lord has given it to me, I know this is a heavy word. I know this is a convicting word for us this morning. But I just want you to really consider what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. This is not me, you know, calling you to arms. This is not me calling you to actually come before the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to each one of our hearts and saying, yes, I want this for each and every one of you. I want you to endure, right? And as you endure, you will reign with him, right? And as we, you know, the thing is that we have to be very careful that when we're in the world, that we're not denying Jesus, right? Because that's so easy to do. You're in a group of non-believers, right? And they start going in a path or a conversation that goes a certain way. Do we reluctantly go with them? Or do we stand, even if we don't say anything, and we just leave? But make it obvious that that is not where we're standing. Even in that, you are now proclaiming Jesus in that situation. You know, and we have to be always aware of, are we truly looking to be a representative for Christ in whatever situation we're in, right? It doesn't always mean that you have to be speaking boldly against whatever's going on or condemning someone else for what they're doing, because the world can't even understand what a godly message looks like. They can't understand the love of God. They see God as a hard taskmaster, one who says, I have to change this, one who says, I have to stop that, one who says, I have to not have fun anymore. That's not what God is saying. But we have to be ones who emulate that, right? To show them that there is a joy that you can't even receive through alcohol, that you can't receive through drugs, that you can't receive through anything that this world has to offer you. But there is a joy that the Holy Spirit has. There is a love that the Holy Spirit has. There is, you know, all of these fruits of the Holy Spirit, all of that is there. And you cannot attain it in this world. But if they don't see it in us, right? And if we have to now try and tell someone that they need to do it, right? And we're not walking it out. They're not seeing it in us. That message is not going to line up. That message will be distorted. Because now I'm living one way, but speaking another message. Right? But first we have to do the work outside. Let the Lord start to actually work in our hearts, work in our lives. Get us to that place where we're hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit in every situation we're in. And then build a house. Then start bringing that message out to others. You know, as God leads us, as God guides us, as we're hearing the very voice of the Holy Spirit. Because if we're in that prayer closet and we're saying, I don't hear God. If you're here this morning, you're saying, I don't hear God's voice speaking to me. I can't be that for you. I can tell you what God is speaking to me and how God is giving me this message to deliver, right? But this is God speaking to you, right? This is not me saying, oh, this is a nice message. I want this for... I gain nothing from this. I gain nothing from this except, you know what, God, I'm being obedient to you. And yes, I gain that. I gain the joy of the Holy Spirit. I gain the actual, all the riches that God has for me, right? But that's me. I want that for every single one of you. And God wants that for every single one of you, right? So as we're hearing this morning, that's one way of hearing the Word of God. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. That's God speaking to you. And as you do that more and more often, you will start to understand and start to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, no, do this, no, do that. Hear this, speak to this one, lay hands on that one. You will hear these things. And now you'll be able to walk in not just the ability of the Holy Spirit, but in the confidence, in knowing that when you walk up to someone and you actually say, you know, the Lord says you are healed, right? It's not my job to heal someone. I have no ability to heal someone. But God has the ability to do all things. And if God is the one saying, go lay hands on that person because I want to heal that person, then all I am is a conduit. All I am is a vessel that God is working through. And that's what God wants every single one of us. He wants every single one of us being a vessel that he can use to bring life to those who are yet dead. Right? So, but we need to be in that place where we're hearing from God and in that place where we're receiving from God, right? So if we are faithless, he remains faithful. And I love that, right? That even when you're struggling, God is still faithful to you. God is still faithful to you because he's delivering this message. He's also calling out. I'm sure it's not just this message, but he's bringing the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon you because he is faithful. He loves you. His desire is to see you prosper. His desire is to see you live an abundant life on this earth. One full of joy, right? One full of love, right? But so often we don't have the proper perspective. But the only way to get that is spend time in his presence. Come to know your daddy. Come to know your father. Come to know the love that he has for you and how faithful he is to you, right? Because he cannot deny himself. I love that, right? Remind them of these things and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Again, if you're hearing from God, right? If you're hearing from God, there'll be no one who can bring an argument against you that will convince you that something else is true. Because when you know that it's from God, nothing can shake that. Nothing can shake that because it'll line up with the Word. It will line up with what God is doing in your life. It will be truth to you. And you will know that. And you will have a peace that people can be giving all kinds of arguments to you. And you don't even have to engage. Because you will know that that's not the truth of God speaking into your life. Because you've already heard the truth that God has for you. Right? But be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. And I just want to put that charge out to each one of us this morning. Every one of us in this room need to hear this call this morning, right? Are we doing the work? Are we sitting before God? Are we asking God to minister to us? Are we asking God, are we going through that physical time of laboring? It's one thing to say this, but it's another thing to actually go and sit in your room or in your prayer closet. Right? There's no other way this is going to happen. You have to put in. And that's considered work before God. God is saying, because he knows our spirit, right? And our spirit, it's working to enter into his presence. Working to enter into his rest. But as we do, we will start to desire after it more and more. He knows that. But we have to be willing. And I want to encourage you today, if you're not doing that, if you haven't already established that in your life, if that routine is not part of your life, start today. Start today and start coming into that place for God. If you're listening online, if you haven't ever received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come into that place where you're asking God to come into your heart. Start there. God will answer that prayer. God will answer that prayer and he will say yes. And he will start to send people into your life that will speak life into your life. He will start to quiet the voice of the enemy in your life. But as you ask God, because that's God's desire, is that all would be saved. So if you have not received salvation, if you're here amongst us this morning, start there. Ask God. He is the Lord of the harvest. He will bring a harvest of salvation into your life. You know? So I just want to leave you that. If you are saved, continue, press in. If you haven't started, start now. There's no greater urgency than to get into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because that's where it all starts. And it all goes forth from Him. Because He is God in our midst today. He's God dwelling us. He's God that's actually affecting the entire world. Right? But we need to, He's chosen to work through us. And the limitations that we have is the flesh. But we can put to death the deeds of the flesh by continuing to pursue after the Spirit of God. Right? And continue to pursue after the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you this morning. I don't want this to be left as a heavy word. But I do want to encourage you that to hear the conviction of the Holy Spirit this morning. Hear the conviction of this word and allow this word to seep in. Allow this word to penetrate your hearts. And as that word penetrates our hearts, let us go and start getting into the presence of God. Start reading His word, not as a religious obligation, but to know, who is my daddy? What is He saying to me in my situation? And then start to experience the joy of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit, and all of His fruits and all of His works. And you will start to have a hunger and a thirst after the things of God. So praise God this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Into your heart. Examine your heart before the Lord. The Lord is not here to condemn you. The Lord is not looking to condemn you. He's looking to increase His love to you. His desire is to meet you in that place and say, I love you. And I want to produce a harvest in you 30, 60, and 100 fold. So as you enter into that prayer closet, expect that God is going to meet you there. Look for God in that place. Look for God to start speaking to you. A hunger and a thirst after things of God. I guarantee you that if we continue to do that and work unto just sitting before the Lord will do His part in every one of us, right? So let the conviction work on our hearts this morning. So praise God. I'm just going to close out with a word of prayer, but the altars are open if anyone does desire prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today, O Lord God. I thank you, Lord, for the conviction that you have brought upon each and every one of us, O Lord God. Lord God, I ask you, Father God, that even as we have heard your word, that us, that you will bring us from image to image and glory to glory. You just need us to sit and desire and allow you to build in us, O Father God, a testimony, a harvest that will affect others around us, O Father God. So Lord God, I ask, O Father God, this morning, that even as we leave this place, that we would start even right now, O Father God, that we would start even right now, that anyone who is even doesn't know you, that is not saved, Lord, that they would come and they will desire just to know you, to know your Son, to receive your Son as their Lord and Savior. Anyone who's here who needs that this morning, that you will come to the altars. Lord God, I just ask, Father God, that you would, Father God, have your way in this service, in the hearts and minds of each and every one of us, Lord. And as we go, Lord, that we will be filled to the even overflowing of the Holy Spirit, Lord. And that we will have the power, the love, the joy, all of the fruits of the Holy Spirit emanating from us. We thank you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.
always been.